Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sporting Edge. We got a familiar face back today. Bubba is back. What's going on, Bub?
Everything's all good, Xander, except I'm having a rough time with these college bowl games, but everything's all good.
Yeah, well, I mean, you called the Arkansas game when it was 24-7. I remember you said 34-24, and the final was 35-24. That was a rough one to lose, being your best bet in the pool, I bet.
Yeah, it was brutal. Up 24-0, I figured I was cruising into victory, but you could kind of see, you know, when I told you, I could see the action. I've watched enough games, and you know, it was one of those things. And Arkansas just totally collapsed, and they couldn't even sneak any score. And the whole game turned in that one play when the guy was running in for a touchdown, almost untouched, and he fumbles the ball through the end zone. That was basically the end of the day.
Yeah, that was kind of the story of Arkansas's whole season. I mean, they put up that graphic, you know, they played great in the first half, and the entire season they could not put it together. And, you know, they played to their chart, and they did exactly that. I mean, they had an epic meltdown in the second half. I mean, they had so many chances to right the ship, but they turned the ball over, I think it was 3 or 4 times in that second half. Absolutely brutal to watch, but Bob, I think before we get into the major meaty games tonight in the college football playoff, talk about a few NFL things. I mean, this is not really the week that I think we go over the whole slate. We kind of got the whole playoff picture set up. We got a couple big games that we can talk about. But one thing I keep hearing from a lot of people is that, you know, with the Cowboys locking in their seed, Tony Romo and Mark Sanchez are going to get some time this week. And, you know, people are saying if Romo goes out there and lights it up, this is going to be cause for a quarterback controversy. Now, I have a very strong opinion on this, Bud, but I wanted to get your take on it first. Is it going to be a controversy if Tony Romo goes out there and plays well for a half?
I'll bet you our opinions are exactly the same.
I believe they are.
There is no chance that Tony Romo is starting the playoff game unless Dak Prescott is laid out in an ambulance. Dak Prescott is the quarterback of the Cowboys for now and forever, unless he gets hurt or all of a sudden he becomes a bum at a later date. Tony Romo will no longer be with the Dallas Cowboys after this year, and he is strictly a backup going into the playoffs, and they're giving him some time because he hasn't played live football since Thanksgiving Day of 2015.
I mean, I think the fact that people would say there'd be a controversy is one of the more ridiculous things I've ever heard in sports. And people say, like, this talk a lot of crap. But, I mean, the fact that he'd come out and play good for one half, you're telling me that, you know, a guy who led this team through the entire year at, what are they, 13-2 right now? A ridiculous number, especially for a rookie quarterback with also a rookie in the backfield. That there's going to be any controversy, I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the Cowboys should play Tony Romo in this game because of the point you just said. I mean, sometimes you're only as good as your backup quarterback, and you never really know what's going to happen in the NFL. I mean, you look at last week, two of the greatest young starting quarterbacks in the NFL went down, Marcus Mariota and Derek Carr. I mean, what does that do to the Raiders' playoff chances. I think it puts it at almost zero. I mean, you know, I can't really say much about Matt McGloin. I haven't really seen him play, but I mean, the quarterback position is so important that you'd be a fool, I think, if you're the Cowboys, not to give your backup a little bit of time. But, you know, to bring up the point that it caused any controversy, I think it is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, Tony Romo hasn't played in a long time, and, you know, the fact that they could get him some reps at literally no cost. I mean, everything is set in stone. To get him a few reps would be beneficial and would not be cause for any controversy, in my opinion.
I'm going to answer to the both questions. Number one, I did pick Oakland Raiders to be in the Super Bowl, and now I would almost bet they might not even get out of the first round of the playoffs now. That's a big blow. I don't think McGloin, again, he's another career backup, you know, for one game. He might be able to get done, and he's no Earl Morrill or George Bland, though, which is way, way before your time. But at the end of the day, and Tony Romo, let me put it this way. If Tony Romo was the starting quarterback in the first game of the playoffs, there would be a revolt in the Dallas Cowboy locker room, and they would fall apart and collapse. The team loves Prescott, and that's just the way it is. As I said, next year you'll see him either in a Denver uniform or a team like that.
Maybe Bears? That's
right on the edge.
I said hopefully the Bears be, you know, something to watch for. I really do like Tony Romo. I think he's a great quarterback. He's run into some injury troubles. I think that could end up being, you know, the big point on his career that was never really able to stay healthy. And that's what kind of gave birth to Dak Prescott. I mean, I remember when he got drafted, it was just another, you know, fourth or fifth round quarterback that you probably were never going to hear about again. But, you know, Romo got injured early in the preseason, and then now we sit here week 17 with, you know, a star is born basically with Dak Prescott, and he's been great. I think the Cowboys, I mean, I think they need to play Prescott and Elliott and basically their starters for about a half. I don't think there's any perfect way to do it, but when you look at the Cowboys, they're going to have a bye. I don't think it'd be very smart to, you know, give these guys basically 2 weeks off of live action, especially considering that, you know, they're rookies. It's going to be their first time in the big show. So I think it'd be smart to play him for a half or so. If he does happen to get hurt, you know, I wouldn't hold any ill will against Jason Garrett, Jerry Jones. I think that would just be part of the game. I think they need to play a little bit, you know, just for the fact that I just said, you know, taking 2 weeks off, I think, really isn't the best idea. But I'm excited to watch this Cowboys team in the playoffs. I mean, they got a ferocious offensive line. Ezekiel Elliott, I think, is about 170 yards away from that rookie rushing record that Eric Dickerson set. I don't know if they're going to give him a chance to break it. If he has a monstrous first half, then maybe. But, you know, I think the bigger picture is a Super Bowl to Dallas, so I don't think they're going to do that. But, I mean, this team, I think, definitely has a shot. I would put the Patriots, I think, is the odds-on favorite right now, Bub. What do you think?
Yeah, well, with Oakland, with Carr going down, I would have to say that would be very correct, because the whole thing's got to go through New England. They're experienced. They've got one of the best coaches, if not the best coach of all time, coaching him. And I do like the Cowboys, but the favorite will be the New England Patriots.
Yeah, and Bub, we got an enormous game in the NFC North this week. Packers-Lions. I thought the Lions, honestly, were going to show up a little more than they did last week. I mean, that game was a great game for a couple quarters. You know, it was back and forth. The final score looked like it was going to be, you know, 66-65. But Dallas really fell apart in the second half. They could not stop Dak Prescott, Dez Bryant, Ezekiel Elliott. Matthew Stafford, you know, he looked okay. But, I mean, this defense, they just gave up a boatload of points. And I don't think it gets much easier this week against the Green Bay Packers team, where Aaron Rodgers is, you know, been, I think, the MVP of the league for the past 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, he's been doing nothing but chucking the ball all around. I think this Lions team, it's going to be hard to stop the Packers.
Well, Aaron Rodgers, as I said, he was dead. He has come back from the dead for the last few weeks. You are correct. He's been playing terrific football, but I think. The Lions, unfortunately, are the Lions, and they will find a way to lose. In fact, I said 3 weeks ago, I assume this would be the matchup, and I've already called for the Green Bay Packers to win this game. So there's my standing here.
Well, right up against the wire, Bub likes the Packers. They're a 3-point favorite. That's all the time we got for this part of the Sporting Edge. If you miss a show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm. We'll see you after the break, everybody.
We'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? Back with Bubba and Xander at the Sporting Edge. Bub, we were talking about Lions-Packers for the NFC North title, and you said you like the Packers right now. They're a three-point favorite, and I have to say, it's a juicy game. I really do like the Packers. It's hard for me to give the Lions a vote of confidence after what I watched last week, but you know what? Taking a step back, that game was essentially, I think, you know, not super meaningless, but kind of meaningless for the Lions. I mean, they find themselves basically in the same position this week. They need to beat the Green Bay Packers to make the playoffs. I mean, there is a chance. There's a couple things that can happen if they lost. But, I mean, it basically did come down to this week. So, you know what? Maybe there wasn't as much of a fire in their belly last week. I don't know. The Dallas Cowboys looked awfully good, though, for a team that also really didn't need the game. So, it's hard to judge. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, I mean, it's been the most lethal combo in football, I think, the past 3 weeks. Going back a couple weeks, the Minnesota Vikings DBs decided to take the game plan into their own hands and not, you know, single cover Jordy Nelson with Xavier Rhodes, who's their best cover corner, and he ended up torching them for about 180 yards and three touchdowns. But I think this should be an exciting game, Bub. I mean, the Lions are, you know, been a pretty good team this year, and they've been a pretty good team for a reason. I mean, the defense has been solid. Matthew Stafford, say what you want about the guy, he's had a pretty solid year. I mean, and the guy's tough as nails, plays through injuries all the time. I really respect him. I think this is going to be a hard-fought game. It might get out of hand, but, you know, it could come down to one possession, and that 3 points could really come into play.
I mean, I don't look at it. I mean, I'm not saying it's getting out of hand. I just know that for some reason, the Lions always find a way to lose, and you're an athlete. How many games did you lay down when you were out playing?
Not very many.
Well, athletes don't lay down. That's why they're athletes. That's why, you know, everybody says, well, why don't you just lose all your games so you can get the draft choice? And they don't. That's not in their DNA. So they might have laid an egg, but they were on national TV and had a chance to really prove something. And they would have put themselves in a better position for this week had they won that game, but they didn't. And look, they could win. I would not fall off my chair if the Detroit Lions won the game. Listen, Stafford is having his best year, especially with the receivers he's got. The defense has been playing terrific. But at the end of the day, I think they find a way to lose the game. And I think in this particular spot, 3 points is an easy cover for me.
Yeah, you know, I really wouldn't be surprised, Bub. And another big game I think we got to look at is the Giants, the Redskins. Now, the Giants are locked in to the 5 seed. The Redskins need this game to win, you know, to get into the playoffs. I mean, I think this is do or die for Kirk Cousins. What do you think?
Well, as you know, I'm not a big Kirk Cousins fan to begin with. I believe he's just Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, in drag. I mean, he's just, you know, he's a good quarterback, but he's not a gamer. He does not win the game. He does manage to find a way to lose games, you know, and that's when I look at a quarterback, I'm watching this kid, Dak Prescott, you know, but you go back in history, Tom Brady. He didn't lose many games. You know, he finds a way to win those games. Look at Russell Wilson. Yeah, he lost the Super Bowl. But, I mean, he finds ways to win games. Kirk Cousins doesn't seem to me to be the guy that can win the games. This game, I'm assuming they're going to win pretty easily. I mean, I'm sure that the Giants are going to be resting him. And the game opened 5 and is already up to 8 already. So, he's getting basically a gimme here. But as far as a top-notch quarterback, I do not put him in the top tier of quarterbacks. I don't care what his statistics look like. I think at the end of the day, he's really a really good backup, and that's what I see of him.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is – I don't want to say gimme being a division rival, but, I mean, the state that the New York Giants are in, it's hard to see how they could really get up for this game. And not that they couldn't get up, but how – if you're on the Redskins – how are you not going in there and just absolutely annihilating the Giants in this game? I mean, you can see by the spreads moving up. I wouldn't be surprised if it moved a couple more points. I mean, you know, we're sitting here on Friday night. You know, we still got, you know, about 36 hours till game time. There's a lot that can happen. But, I mean, you know, I think for Kirk Cousins, I'm a little bit on the other side. I do think he's a starting quarterback in this league, but you know, there comes a point where, you know, do you want to be labeled as the Andy Dalton of the NFL who consistently makes it to the playoffs and cannot win a playoff game? So I think this is a big year for Kirk Cousins. I think the playoffs for them start this week. And if he can't win this game against the Giants, you know, I think maybe the Redskins might try to shop him. I don't know. I mean, it'll be tough. It'll be a tough pill to swallow for a Washington team who won the division last year, came into this year a lot of high hopes. I mean, I don't think anybody expected Dallas to to be as good as they've been. But, I mean, ample opportunity for the Redskins to make the playoffs. But, Bub, the Falcons trying to lock up the number two seed in the NFC. As I see it right now, Bub, I think Matt Ryan might have a pretty damn good case at being the MVP with Derek Carr going down last week and Matt Ryan just having a stellar performance. I think he edges out Tom Brady a little bit right now.
Well, I think people are going to penalize Tom Brady for missing four games, and I think that actually was an advantage for him. But I think the only way Bryant would get the MVP would be if Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott split the votes up. I think that they're much more valuable, in my opinion, than him, especially for that organization. But, you know, I think there's other guys in the running. And I mean, don't get me wrong. He's had a great season. And you know I always like Matty Ice. I just don't think he's the MVP here. Great year. The team's having a great year. They didn't do the old foldo this year. So I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he won it. But I don't think he's in my opinion, he's not in the top three right now.
Okay. And I think another guy you got to give a little love to, considering where his team was, where they are, and how he's been playing, is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, most valuable player. I could make a case for him, and I think as begrudgingly as you don't want to, I think you could as well.
Oh no, I don't. I don't dislike Aaron Rodgers. I think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, but I just don't think he is what he used to be. Now he's come on the last few weeks. He's put together some nice games, and you know he's playing injured. And listen, I give him all the credit of the world. I don't even against him. I mean, certainly it wouldn't surprise if he won it either. I mean, he's certainly been playing awfully good, so it wouldn't be a shock. I mean, you know, I'm not against him. I just, you know, I called it last year, and I said that he was not what he was, and until the last couple of weeks, he hasn't been. So maybe he saved up his energy, but again, if he won the MVP, I mean, he's been playing great. I can't take that away. I can't take away what somebody's already done. So he's doing great.
And Bub, you know, a couple big names. This will be, you know, what they say is the final time we're going to see them on the football field. One of those being Steve Smith of the Ravens. You know, Steve Smith, I think it was a star when I started watching football. And you know what? The guy is probably one of the biggest competitors in the history of the league. I mean, if you look at him, you know, he's about 5'9", but one of the most ferocious, talented receivers, I think, you know, in the league of any era. And I think he, you know, he might have a decent shot at the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he has, you know, quite the numbers, but the guy was a joy to watch, and he always brought, you know, a maximum effort to each game.
I could not agree with you more. He's a stud. I mean, he's a mean little guy. I mean, he loves to kill it. And Hall of Fame. I wouldn't be surprised. But you know, the one thing, the NFL Hall of Fame is so much harder than any other Hall of Fame. But yeah, he's a great player, and I'm sorry to see him go out like this. I'd love to see him go out on top. And unfortunately, you know, he got injured last year, which was going to be his last year, and he came back one more time. And I just think he doesn't. You know, what happens to a lot of these guys? They just don't want to go into the preseason crap again, the off-season conditioning. If it was just games, he'd probably come back and play again.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough part about football. I mean, so much of it is, you know, off the game field, you know, practicing, getting your body ready. I mean, you play one time a week, 16 games a year. I mean, there's, you know, 360 days in the year. There's a lot of time that you're doing when you're not playing games. It's kind of unlike any other sport. I mean, you look at NBA, NHL, you get 80 games. MLB, you get 160. So it's very different. Bub, another guy who really had a great career for being a fifth-round pick back in 2003, Robert Mathis, as the numbers stand right now, has 122 sacks and was a force opposite end of Dwight Freeney for so many years in Indianapolis and got that Super Bowl ring with Peyton Manning. You got about 20 seconds, Bub. Sum up Robert Mathis' career for us.
Great defensive end, really, really played well. Listen, he deserves it. He's a great player, and you know he played on a subpar team, so him and Freeney really had to do it. I think he does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, probably.
I agree with you as well. A great teammate, a great competitor, and you know I think the statistics kind of back it up. That's all the time we got here for the Sporting Edge. If you miss a show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm. We'll be back after the break with some talk about the college football playoff.
Thank you.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. So, Bub, we just got done talking about Steve Smith and Robert Mathis, two great careers that are likely going to come to an end tomorrow on the field. Definitely a joy to watch. And another guy who I don't think he's going to retire, but Darrell Revis, kind of sounding like he's fed up with the Jets, kind of fed up with football. I think he disbands from the Jets and joins another team. I know he kind of had a rough year, but Bub, I think Darrell Revis has something left in the tank, and I think a playoff contender would be wise to sign him to a deal next year.
I don't know how much he's got left in the tank, but he's got enough reputation left in the tank. But I don't know if he really wants to play anymore. I mean, he's won his Super Bowl. He's done his thing. He'd be an addition to any team, but is it still Revis Island? I don't think so anymore. But again, one thing about him at his best and him at his not his best, he's still probably better than most of the cornerbacks in the game anyways.
Yeah, I mean, this year didn't really work out. I mean, if we're going to go by technicalities, the number has him at a very average, if not a little below average, corner, which is, completely the opposite of what the guy used to be. I mean, when you used to look at his stats, there really was nothing there. Interceptions, pass deflection. It's because people didn't throw at him. They just chose to go to the other side of the field, which I think is almost one of the greatest signs of respect. And that's why numbers don't always tell the story. It's, this guy was so good that people would literally cut the field in half and not throw towards him because he was that good. But, I know he got a Super Bowl, but I mean, this Jets team is a mess. Every part of it up and down. So I think, he might be a little fed up with football, but I think some of it has to do with being on a losing team and a team that lost. I mean, it wasn't even an interesting year for the Jets. I mean, they were terrible, couldn't get anything going. And I think we'll see Darrell Revis in a new uniform next year. But, Bub, we were talking about this in the car the other day, and I read an article yesterday on CBS Sports about it. The Bulls are great for TV. They're great for gamblers. They're great for, all the money. But besides the college football playoff and before the championship game, maybe the big Bulls, because, I mean, those are kind of a privilege to play in, the Bulls are essentially kind of pointless. And we talked about that at length, because they're basically exhibition games, and we have all these guys sitting out because they didn't want to get hurt, and it's kind of a bad look, but at the same time, these guys have a lot bigger future than this one exhibition, this one bowl game, and I have no doubt that had they been in the college football playoff, that these guys like Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, they'd be playing. And so this article that I read was about the Group of Five, which is, kind of the second tier of Division I football. You've got the Power Five conferences, the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12, and the Big 12. And then you got, the Group of Five, which is, the American, Conference USA, the Mid-American, Mountain West, and Sun Belt. And they're talking about, possibly should they have their own playoff. And I remember I brought this up to you, and I hadn't read this, so it's kind of interesting. But, Bub, the teams from the Group of Five essentially have no chance to make the college football playoff, so it seems kind of pointless to keep them on the same playing field as teams like Alabama, teams like Ohio State. I mean, you look at Western Michigan, went undefeated, and the highest they climbed in the rankings, I think, was 13. So, I mean, I forgot which coach brought it up, but I think this would be an interesting thing because if you look at the group of five, it's kind of the second tier of Division I football. It's really not, you know, in the same league as the SEC and the Big Ten and all those other conferences.
Well, I agree. And I mean, I look at from a gambler standpoint, from a fan standpoint, I don't want to watch one of these teams go to Alabama as a 37-point underdog. You know, what I mean, obviously Western Michigan's not going at 37-point underdog, but I'd rather see better football and have them have their own group and their own playoffs and their own bowl series. I think it'd be better for everybody. I think that, you know, one of the most exciting things is the D3 or the D2. You know, the or FCS, what they call it, FCS, the, you know, the playoff series. I mean, that's, to me, is much more exciting. And, you know, some of these games, you know, you got teams playing these bowls now. They're, you know, 5-7 or, you know, I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, I know it's for the players, and I'm with you on the whole thing. I'm still not with you on the not playing, because they do sell insurance for guys like that play and get hurt. So, but at the end of the day, I agree with you. I think the group of five, whatever they call them, should have their own playoff series. I would like to see, my personal opinion, is 2 8-team playoffs play, and then maybe if you want to top it off, you have the two winners play for the world championship, right? I mean, yeah, that would be kind of cool. But I'd much rather see you know, the best of each group play, and not see some of these others play, because to me, you know, it's kind of sappy, you know. And like a team like South Carolina, I mean, they didn't belong in a bowl this year, but they're there. And, you know, the SEC is right now is, I think, 1-5 in bowls so far, you know, and not for any other reason that they just, you know, A lot of teams made that shouldn't be in there, and B, you know, none of those teams want to go to a subpar bowl.
Right. And, you know, I think you look at that, you know, that second tier, and you look at football as a whole, Division I, there's like over 100 teams. Football is a very hard sport because you can't, it's not like, you know, the NCAA basketball where you can have a 64-team tournament. You can really only play so many games. So it makes it difficult. You know, people say, I want more teams in the playoff. I want more teams to have a shot. I don't think you can't really get bigger than 8 teams. I think it's eventually going to go to 8, and I think that'd be cool. You know, you get 3 games, but, you know, people say 16, 30. I mean, you just can't play that many games without cutting down the regular season, which kind of ruins, I think, college football as a whole. But, I mean, this idea of the group of five kind of, you know, forming their own league, I think would be better for just football, for fans in general, because, I mean, like I said, I don't know the coach, but he was right. I mean, those teams legitimately have no shot to make the college football playoff because, you know, here we have one of them was undefeated and they couldn't even crack the top 10. I mean,
well, last year Marshall was undefeated as well. They couldn't crack that. I agree with you. I believe in exactly what you're saying, and it would be better for everybody to have a separate bowl series. You've already gone away. I mean, listen, when I first, you know, was watching, they played on New Year's Day. There wasn't a playoff, and the national champion, basically knew who the national champion was going to be. And I like the bowl series. I like the playoff series. You're right. They can only go to 8 because the problem is they have to give up too many games because college players can only play 12 or 13 games tops. That's about the end of it. But the problem is you make the playoffs too big, you have to give up too much of the front end of your schedule. And then if you don't make it, what do? You end up, you don't play enough games. So 8 is about the max they can go to, which is fine. And, you know, they've made the bowl into just another slot machine moneymaker because they start on, what, December 10th? And they go to January 2nd or past that, or January 9th, the last game. So you got a month of bowls. I mean, 50 bowl games or whatever it is. I mean, it's ridiculous already. I mean, it's too much. And again, I can't stand watching a team in football that has a 5-2 record going to a bowl game. You know, in the NCAA tournament in basketball, hey, if you win your way in and you win your tournament, even if you're under 500, no problem, you deserve it. But in this, no chance in my mind.
Right, and I think, you know, with that idea, you know, base, it'll come down to money. You know, can this second tier playoff kind of generate enough money where it'd be in the interest of the NCAAs and, you know, basically the TV deals? You know, would it be enough? I don't know if it would be. I would love to see it because I think, you know, I want to see, you know, good competition. Like you said, nobody wants to see a team go to Alabama as a 40-point underdog and, you know, play like that, because it's just not interesting to see a team, you know, get rolled by that much. But Bub, we got two enormous games today, the two most important games in college football. Got Washington, Alabama, and we've got Ohio State Clemson. Now, let's start off Washington, Alabama, the first game of the day. Bub, you know, what are some keys to the game? Washington's a 2-touchdown underdog right now. What are the keys for the Huskies, you know, to cover and, you know, to possibly win this game? I know they have very little shot, but, you know, what are some keys for them?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to outscore them. Okay, they're going to have to D up, and I don't believe that they can. Again, look, they can cover the spread. I give them almost zero chance to win this game. To me, this was the worst draw that they could have gotten. Now, certainly Browning could have a big game. I just don't see it because, you know, I've watched Nick Saban in Alabama for so long, and we're seeing that the Pac-10 is kind of weak anyways. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, so if you take into consideration, I mean, Colorado got creamed. Utah barely beat Indiana. And who's the other Pac-10 team that got drilled? Washington State couldn't even beat Minnesota, who was on strike. And what was there was one other team that lost that got beat up.
We're going to have to go to the other team after the break because that's all the time we have. So we're going to break down the rest of the Bama game as well as Ohio State versus Clemson. Dabo Swinney, Urban Meyer. If you miss the show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm, and we will see you after the break. What's up, everybody? We're back to Sporting Edge. Me and Bub are breaking down the college football playoff. Bub, you were talking about Washington. You know, they got very little chance in this game. They're going to need to outscore Alabama, and I think, you know, one of my keys for them is, you know, they're one of the best defenses in the nation at forcing turnovers. And that's really the only way I could see them squeaking this one out. They're going to need to make Jalen Hurts turn the ball over, something that he really hasn't done all year. I mean, Jalen Hurts, you've given him a ton of credit on this show. He's had a phenomenal year. One of the probably the best-looking Alabama quarterback that I've seen over the past 6 or 7 years. I mean, they've had some solid guys, but their bread and butter has been the run game. And defense. I mean, you look at the running backs, almost all their, you know, 6 or 7 starting running backs that they've had are in the NFL, or used to be, RIP Trent Richardson. But, I mean, Eddie Lacy, TJ Yeldon, Mark Ingram, you know, each year they have a new young guy who sneaks in when they're blowing the other team out of the game that is a starter next year and gets drafted the year after that. So, I mean, this is going to be a really tough game for Washington. But on the other side, I mean, I think Jake Browning is probably one of the more athletic quarterbacks that Alabama is going to see this year. And, you know, he's made a lot of plays. I realize Washington does not play in the SEC or the Big Ten. They don't play the best competition, and they did get whooped on by USC. But, you know, if he can make some plays and if Washington can have the game of their lives, force a few turnovers, maybe a couple trick plays, they might have a shot. But, I mean, Alabama, one thing they have not done all year is they have not faltered. You know, they've been in a couple close games, and you turn your head, you take a piss, and they're up by 30 points. I mean, I remember that specifically 3 or 4 times this year. Alabama just, you know, it's kind of a close game, and then they just run away with it. I mean, they're that much better than everybody else. And I think a funny point I heard you saying before is their third stringers could probably start on most Division I teams, and I think you're right. I mean, that's you know, what kind of program Nick Saban has. I mean, wins kind of breed wins and winning players. And if you want to be the best, I mean, Alabama is certainly the place to go. So, Bub, now that we've kind of diagnosed the game, I need to make an official selection, Bama minus 14.
Well, I'm certainly not taking Washington. So I'm going to I really don't want to lay it. I would in this particular spot. I actually think that if Alabama, the only way Alabama doesn't cover is they lose the game. I think they win by probably my prediction of score will be 42-14.
Okay, that sounds pretty fair to me. I really don't like laying it either, but I have a feeling, you know, it's going to end up in a little bit of a blowout, like you said. So I'll take Bama. Not my favorite pick of all time, but this team is just too tough and too good, I think. For a Huskies team that is very good, but I mean to beat Alabama, you essentially need to play a perfect game for all 4 quarters, and I just don't think Washington's capable of doing that here. But I have been wrong before; it's only happened a couple of times. But you know,
but you did pick Washington a long time ago, so I got to give you your props there, my brother.
I did. And I also picked when they were going to get beat against USC. But let's move on to the nightcap. I think the much more interesting game. Clemson, the defending runner-ups against Ohio State, who has been, you know, turned themselves into a juggernaut with Urban Meyer there. I mean, you know, in my opinion, Bub, I think Urban Meyer, he could be, you can make a case that he is the best coach in college football. I know that Nick Saban has all the titles, has been, you know, coaching this super team for, you know, 6 or 7 years now, won a title at LSU, but, you know, you look at Urban Meyer's track record, and he's also, you know, a little bit younger than Nick Saban, so eventually the numbers might even out, but Urban Meyer is my favorite coach, and I think he is the best coach in college football. You look what he did at Utah, going undefeated. You look what he did at Florida, winning 2 national championships. And, you know, you look what he's done at Ohio State so far. I mean, the guy has really never missed a beat. I mean, kind of similar, I think, to Jim Harbaugh. Basically, everywhere they go, you know, they make programs winners. And you know what? I like the Buckeyes in this game, but I think we can probably break it down a little bit, talk about the players first.
No, I do. I also like the Buckeyes, but and Urban Meyer is a great coach, and I think, in my opinion, the group of four teams, the only one that can beat Alabama is Ohio State. That's in my opinion. But I think Urban Meyer is phenomenal. He figured out a way to win with a third string quarterback. He figured out a way to win a lot of games over the years with not always. And I listen, he's got great talent, so I'm not taking it away. But in the past, he has figured out a way to win. I think that Clemson, I love Clemson. Listen, I'm a Clemson fan, believe it or not. And this goes back 30 years. I've been watching Clemson, okay? And I think they're a great team. But I just don't think they muscle up and match up when it comes down to the meat against Ohio State. I think that Ohio State will grind them down and wear them out. And listen, I think Deshaun Watson should have won the Heisman this year, but he didn't. But I think they're a good team. I just don't think they're good enough. And I think that their reign ends here. They had you know, too many close games this year, and usually you would say, well, that indicates that they can win the close games. But in college football, when you're a 20-point favorite, you're not supposed to have a close game. I mean, those are things that to me would be alarm bells coming off. Now, you know, they did, you know, they ran ahead of Louisville and had to hang on at the end. And then they ran to get ahead of somebody else and they had to hang on at the end. I just don't think they've got enough to beat Ohio State. I think Ohio State beats them pretty easy.
Yeah, I just, overall, I think Ohio State's the better team. And, you know, Clemson's got a lot of talent. I mean, we saw that. I mean, going back to last year, I've said it many times. Clemson, I think, played the better game in the championship. They just had a couple key turnovers, a couple key plays that Alabama, I mean, Alabama's a team, you make a mistake, they capitalize on it. They ended up losing that game, but, I mean, you know, Clemson, I thought, should have won. But this year, I mean, I've been ragging on Clemson all year, so I got to give them credit for finding their way back in the top four. I mean, I know they started off, I believe, as number two, but it's not easy to stay there all year. But like you said, I kind of worry about you know, just playing against as good of a team that Ohio State has. And like you said, a lot of close games, but a lot of games that really shouldn't have been close. I mean, when Clemson beat Louisville, I thought both those teams were for real. Turned out that Louisville wasn't as good as we thought. You know, that's not really a knock on Clemson. I mean, that was a great game, but Clemson really hasn't been playing up to par this year, I think. And I think this Ohio State secondary is really who gets the job done against Clemson. I mean, I think they're the best in the nation. Got an All-American back there. And Deshaun Watson, I think he's the X factor in this game. I think Ohio State will put up some points. I mean, JT Barrett, we've seen him play for, you know, I think the past 3 years. You know, he was a fifth in the Heisman voting a couple years ago. The guy can play, and he's going to be a huge X factor for Ohio State as well. But I think Ohio State is going to score around 30 points this game. I think it's going to be on their defense to shut Clemson down. And you know what? Deshaun Watson's going to need to play the game of his life. And I think Clemson's going to try to let him. I mean, he is the best player on that team. And he, you know, he's probably the best dual threat quarterback in NCAA football. And I think they got to let him do that. I mean, if he doesn't rush the ball, you know, 15 times this game, I don't even know if they have a shot. I mean, the running game's been essentially, for a team that ran the ball pretty well last year, it's been pretty non-existent. And even Watson's numbers are down this year, but he's the one guy I think that could beat Ohio State. I think he's just going to have a tough time with how good Ohio State's secondary is. He's going to need to pound the rock, and it's going to be a tough-fought game. But we got Ohio State as a 3-point favorite, Bub. So we got about 30 seconds left. Who's your official pick?
My official pick is Ohio State and Alabama, but I like Ohio State better than I like Alabama, but I think it's a rematch of 2 years ago, and I think that that'll be a hell of a game.
I agree. I like Ohio State in this one. It could be. I think it could be a 10-point game, but I think Ohio State is clearly going to show that they're the better team here. And like you said, Bub, I mean, all bets are off for that championship game. I mean, I would say that Alabama would be a huge favorite, but the one man who has beaten Alabama with a third-string quarterback is none other than Urban Meyer with Cardale Jones a couple years ago. That's all the time we have, folks, for this week. We got some great games tonight, so we're going to definitely cover them next week when we get back on the show. Have a great New Year, happy holidays, and we will see you in 2017. Bye-bye, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.